Can you hear me well? Good. While you open the passage of today's one, the Acts, chapter 1, from the 1 to the 11. But I'm going to read the passage when I'm preaching on, so to save time, because I'm not just, your pastor said, I'm not often to preach in English, occasionally. Hoping you will get well. Peace to you. Peace to you, right? In the name of the risen Lord. It is such an honor to preach the Word of God to you in Hong Kong. I was surprised when I text message what's up to Sam, say, hey, this Sunday, since I'm in Hong Kong, maybe I'll come to check you out, worship with my friends. He said, well, quickly, actually, that's the dinner when Franklin was I. Then he said, are you open to preaching to us? I was shocking. Yes, I want to worship with you, but I'm not really prepared to preaching. The entire week was doing the training. But I'm delighted to worship and speak in the word of the Lord to you in the name of the greater king than Solomon, because we are worshiping him in real reality. So as he said, Jeff and Franklin was here, and also my colleague, Caleb Jung, and my wife, Xu Guang, is here. So I'm so delighted to be with you. I believe every mature and influential Christian institute, including this church, Solomon's Porch, had his humble beginning and the amazing development of the story by the grace of God, by the truth of God. I praise the Lord your wonderful work for this church locally and globally. I see your website. I know he told me a story until I see the website. So you had the churches in Seoul, Tokyo, and Singapore, and some great cities in China. Meanwhile, God also opened your eyes to see other local people like Filipino and Indonesia is here. So I'm now very, very excited to hear the story. God, leading your pastor, leading your elders in the retreat through all the multiple conversations, you're going to start a mentoring service. Are you excited? Yes? No? Okay. That's okay. You will get there. Okay. I will tell you a reason more. You know, as this church, by 25 years, many things has been changed, and something will change. But I hope the vision and the mission of this church right here will stay true, because what is said, to know him, to be like him, and to be make him know among the nations, because this is a biblical, so that will be always relevant in every time and every places. Do I have amen? So I noticed the one phenomenon. I know you go through the Lenten, so it's appropriate to think about Good Friday and Easter. Both is very important, but I feel like in the evangelical, even the charismatic church, they really, really emphasize on the death of Christ more than his resurrection. Although we know this both is important, but when you think about Easter, after Easter celebration, I think most people are back to normal life, as we have to wait for Jesus coming, resurrected next Easter. Did you feel that way? Maybe this is different. And if we talk about ascension of Jesus, seems more like a fairy tale. Well, he's just riding on the cloud to go away. When Jesus said, this is good for you when I away, but we normally think he abandoned us, right? But scripture actually tells us the ascension of Jesus is a matter of the church. Very importantly, as we're going to open the scripture of the Word of God in the first 11 verse and the end of Acts, that will indicate something very important. Like the beginning, if you open your Bible now to look at Acts, you will notice four critical events: crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and the second coming of Jesus is a narrative way to usher the kingdom of God in the final stage. He talked about the kingdom of God through his life. With these events, will make us in this Lenten season to pause and reflect the importance, the connection between the person of Christ and the work of Christ to usher the kingdom of God on this earth. How would this impact each one of us? Here now, we had it better to know how to connect our daily life to the eternal purpose God had ordained for us from eternity. There's a man, Doug Hamadou. He was the sweetest one, was a second term general minister of United Nations. He's a recipient of a Nobel Prize. He said this, "I do not know who and what put the question. I do not know when it was put. I do not even remember answering, but at some point, I did answer yes to someone or something. And from the hour I was certain that a human existence is meaningful and that therefore my life in self-surrender had a goal." I don't know whether Doug is a Christian or not, yet a large extent you and I may agree with him when he wrote this passage is right after World War II. Now we are maybe in the age World War III. We never know until the history brings it to us. This quote, "Human existence is meaningful, therefore my life in self-surrender has a goal." If you are a follower of Christ, if you heard a few familiar words I'm going to read quickly from Acts, from beginning, your heart and mind should be asking yourself the question, what and how this passage related to the original audience back to the 2,000 years ago, and how Spirit will apply this to our life now, specifically. Therefore, I pray you would ask yourself those questions. In what extent I still believe in the promise of Jesus after his resurrection from the dead, before ascension, he really rode this earth from heavenly realm. How much do I rely on the person and the work of a Holy Spirit to complete this unfinished task? How we answered to these questions and the degree we committed to the task would largely shaping our life on this earth. Do I have an amen? The vision will shape how we are today even. I firmly believe even today God will use this church again and the rest of the church in the world in this generation and the generation to come to advance his kingdom until his glorious return, our King. Until then, our task still unfinished. And the kingdom of God not reached its fullness yet. All of us need to witness of Jesus in any circumstances, whether in the peace or war, in pandemic or post-pandemic, whether we live in Asia, large city, or even small towns. So for this morning, I pray the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to see the three aspects of the coming of Jesus' kingdom. We'll see these three things. I'm hoping you will see it from the screen. The reason Jesus inaugurated the kingdom of God on the earth, a firmly established, ascended Jesus, reigned the kingdom of God on the right hand of the Father. And lastly, is most important to us now, is the descended Spirit. Expand the kingdom of the earth, come kingdom of God to end of the earth. Let's start from the first one. Risen Christ inaugurated his kingdom. Let me ask a question. Why do you think Luke writes Acts after his long gospel, 24 chapters? Let's us hear first very beginning of the gospel Luke and the end of the Luke to get a taste before we read Acts. Here is the beginning of the gospel Luke. "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile the narrative of the things that has been accomplished among us," he's talking about Jesus' work, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitness and the ministers of the word had delivered them to us. Verse 4, that you may have a certainty concerning the things you have been taught, all true. So from all the book of the Gospel Luke, you know, he talked about the life of Jesus, his miracle work, all this Jesus from his beginning and the end of his ascension. So here again, from the Gospel 24, everybody familiar with the Great Commission from Matthew, but here is a version of Luke 24, verse 64. And said to them, thus it is written, that Christ should be suffered, and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of the sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are the witness of these things. Talk about the things, which is Jesus' work, and the person and the work is Jesus. Behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. This is the Spirit. By staying in the city gathering until you are clothed with the power from the high. So in summary, the Gospel of Luke is about the life and the ministry of Jesus. Pastor Sam actually showed me the one book, the Luke and Acts. It was wonderful. It gave the redemption history, then go diving into Luke to give you large perspective why the Gospel of Luke was written, why Acts need to be written. So basically, from the birth of Jesus and life, teaching, miracle, betrayed by his friends, and the death, resurrection, and ascension. With this background, I want you to hear beginning of his second book, Acts. He actually summarized again of what happened in Luke. Acts 1, verse 1 to the 3. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have to deal with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he has given command through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking about kingdom of God. We just hear the summary of the ministry and the work of Jesus before his ascension. Spirit used Luke to write about Jesus' entire life on earth and his work, but he connects something we normally forgot, is kingdom God. He talked to them why Jesus do, he's bring the kingdom God. So in order to understand correctly about Acts, or the message applied to us is directly linked to 40 days work Jesus did. I wish we had like a recording what Jesus' hermeneutics about the Old Testament, how his significant work on the earth is all about the kingdom of God. We all know his earthly work is important, but how to apply his ministry and the life to global population until the Luke write this one. Yes, Jesus finished work on the cross, but his redemptive work of all nations is not done yet, right? So that's the part I think is the central message of the Acts. It is recorded this, the proclamation, advance the kingdom of God on the entire earth. Jesus even gave a roadmap how the disciple to do his work on finished task in Jerusalem, all the Judea, Samaritan, and the end of earth, which was Roman Empire, of course, entire world. And he promised giving never-ending, ever-present power of the Holy Spirit after his ascension. If you read end of Acts, you will see later even Paul in his house rest. That time, as part of end of earth, the great kingdom and empire, he preached the gospel without hindering. think about what that encouragement, comforting to the early church. Think about that and the persecution church in China. They're still preaching kingdom of God without hindering. I remember about more than 10 years ago, I resigned from my pastoral ministry. My wife and I go to China, much longer stay there. As we go to different part of cities, every city in China is large. Now, one surprise to me, I always heard the preaching the Acts. So I start asking different people, especially Wang Yi. I said, why are you preaching the Acts? He said, this is roadmap. This is the blueprint for we print the church in Chengdu or in Changchun, in Shanghai, Beijing. Because they see this is not in the history, but the Spirit will apply that history to the China and the rest of the world, even Hong Kong. So they've convinced Jesus, who raised from dead, yesterday is unchanged from yesterday, today, and forever. Do I have an amen? Although situation changed, we're in a different age, but his message remained true. So especially I want to emphasize, when Luke started doing this work, describe the work of Christ globally, he specially emphasized from the resurrection of the Jesus. So I want to emphasize the resurrection actually bring the kingdom of God on the earth. Verse 3, he said he presented himself alive to them after his suffering from many proofs appeared to them during the 40 days, speaking about the kingdom of God. Resurrection, even in the 2,000 years ago, is where the saints, maybe it's pronounced in the Old Testament, but this is an abnormal phenomenon. When we think of the ancient time, we were thinking, well, they are going to believe everything. But for them, it's actually a new thing. Because that, the changed life apostle, because of resurrected Jesus. We are living in the very diversity age. One sense is very good. Everything, everywhere, you hear it differently. When I come to Hong Kong, I enjoy speaking English and Mandarin, but I had a hard time to understand the Cantonese. I don't know about you. I really had a hard time. Unless they're preaching expositively, maybe I can follow it. But one thing I like Hong Kong is the fusion of the food. You can have the food, had a flavor from India, from China, from Pakistan, from Japan. Everything mixed here had a wonderful experience. Do I have amen here about the food? Okay, right. Okay. So something I noticed 40 years ago when I leave China and go there, I was not a Christian. When people talk about Jesus, I was really had a weird idea. Like I think Jesus started Yeh, Jehovah started Yeh, I was thinking they share the same family name. Sorry, that was my time. So nobody really understand what Jesus related to the Jehovah. But 25 years ago, when I go back to China to celebrate the 20th anniversary of my college reunion, I talked to one of my buddy, and he's doing the business. He started asking me, Ben, what are you doing now? I said, hey, I just quit my work in Lucent to go to the seminary. He started asking, what's a seminary? So I explained all those things, you know. He said, well, brother, you may have hope because that's a cool thing. Nobody go to seminary, but you may have some successful story to tell me later on. So fast forward in 2019, when I was staying in the Franklin apartments, because I cannot be in China, he come to Hong Kong, try migrate here. So I bring him to the Watermark Church. Everything's in English, he cannot understand. I wish I had known the Mandarin speaking church at that time. So however, he asked me one question. Can you baptize my granddaughter? I said, are you believing Jesus now? He said, no. I come to Hong Kong, suddenly find good school, all Christian made, whether Catholic or the Protestant. If you baptize her, maybe he get ahead of other people in queue. I said, I could not do that. So, but he's still not believing yet, but he's in the process. So people's curiosity become reality when they go to the different part of the world. However, in the U.S., I had a different experience. The Jesus who was dead, but raised from the dead, no longer become the believing saints, because we are baptized by enlightenment, baptized the scientific view. So any supernatural saints, for them, thinking there's a myth, is backward. I remember one time I fly from Orlando, go to this San Francisco, I met a white lady. We talk about the faith, and he's very spiritual. So I said, do you know Jesus? He said, yeah, I know Jesus. Oh, I saw he's Christian. So I talked about which part of Jesus you like the most. Oh, I like the Sermon on the Mount because his teaching is wonderful. I said, yes, do you know what's the foundation for that Sermon on the Mount? It's the resurrected Jesus from dead. He said, resurrection? I said, yes. He said, are you believing that person can walk? I said, yes, there's a Jesus. So he said, this is a mess. He said, how can you believe you had a PhD? I mean, we talk about those ones. So for her, historical Jesus or ascended Jesus who live in the heaven is really disjoint. His reality. He had a different version of the Jesus than we have. So we all realize all the religions, maybe people say, is leading to the goodness. So as we share the gospel to the people, we'll meet atheists, especially from China because we brainwashed there. Or even we met theist Muslim, right? But when they talk about the God, always had a hard time to connect this Jesus we worship. Do you realize that? So this is a very demarcation between the God generally talk or the God the biblical reviewed. Because he is the one close to humanity, in the humanity, humbleness, and he also dead for us and raised from dead. If you take this history out, you take the resurrected Jesus out, there is no more Christianity, right? Because when I was pastoring the church in Orlando, I found a lot of people converted because they used to be atheists. When they be, there is a God that wants to be baptized. When I interview them, all our deacons interview them, a lot of times, they had a hard time to believe Jesus is raising from dead. Think about that. Actually, they didn't meet a living God. They not really hear the gospel. They don't know how their sin can be forgiven if Christ is not raised from dead. So that's why Luke keeps saying he presents himself alive to them after his suffering. First to the women's and more, and even 500 people. In the gospel, you will see a lot of account from Matthew 20, Mark 16, Luke 24. Especially think about the John. When he resurrected, and he showed to the women, right? He showed the disciple, and he showed to the multiple people. But finally, he showed to the apostle, to the Emmaus Road. The living Christ from heaven, the light shedding on this persecuted church, Apostle Paul later on. So what it means to us, why the resurrection is important, why he's a witness to us is important. First is identify who is Jesus. His miraculous work on the earth. His resurrection marked the new age is open. God already have a new work in his son. He restored his kingdom. So the two aspects I want to let you want you know, by his resurrection, he actually raised humanity and all the past to cast the death and the hell and restore humanity. So he's redeeming previous work, previous death. All the believing people from Old Testament will be in the heaven now. But he also doing the forward looking. This is 2,000 years. He is doing the work, the new creation. All those ones we look in the cross, we actually be part of a new creation. all things is new. So resurrection is actually the answer to the death and the power of hell, and the humanity and will be renewed is actually upgrade. Think about AI. Some people talk about AI. We are hoping there's a new upgrade of humanity, the cyber humanity, with all the human connection to the new brain. I will tell them, no. The final version of the humanity already here 2,000 years ago, the resurrected body of Jesus, that's the final humanity. That's our destiny. Do I have an amen? Think about this one. Because resurrection is rescue destructive humanity from old world into the new world, give the new life, which is the resurrected life of Jesus. I remember Tim Keller quoted Jonathan Edwards, who was the greatest theologian. Edwards, he talked about resurrected people. It's like a different senses. We know we had five senses now. Edwards said when we resurrect in the final stage, we may have like 100 senses. When he compared now, you are vegetative human being walking on the earth. Compare the resurrected people in the future. I think that may be true. Oh no, we've never been there. But this is a big, big contrast between the resurrected body and ours. Think about Jesus, the one we're walking into when door, every door is closed. He appear and disappear. That's the magic. The real magic we're going to be. The new person in the future. So if you are still struggling, if Christianity is true, I want God, I pray, you can see not only death of Jesus important because that brings the forgiveness of sin, but also resurrect the glory of Jesus, give us a new life. That's our hope. That's our conviction can living on this world. If you are a Christian, I want to ask you and challenge you, do you believe in Jesus is ruling this world on the right hand of Father? You are not just living in the empty concept of that, but this is God. This is the song of God. He actually listened to you, pray for you. Perfect your prayer. None of us prayer is perfect. Have to go through the field of the Jesus high priest to get ear of the Father. So we have to by faith to connect him or binding with him. Just like marriage, we walk with our companion, wife, and husband, hand by hand. So that's the way you experience the death to your sin and the newness to the life. In summary, God actually always working now in us through his resurrected Son. Let's move on to say ascended Jesus, where he reigned the kingdom of God from heaven. His ascension to indicate the mediator changing the place from earth to the heaven. The verse 6 talk about the one you had to come together, talk about the gathering. They ask him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or season, and the Father had fixed by his own authority. Verse 9. And when he had said these things, this is Jesus said, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and cloud took him out their sight. I want to talk about ascension. A couple of years ago, I read a book by Patrick Schreiner, Ascension. The book name is Ascension of Jesus, Rediscovery, Neglect the Doctrine. His basic thesis is ascension is a very critical moment. The transition from earthly work of Jesus to the heavenly work is not only authorize his work, but also to continue his work in the heavenly places. Ascension of Jesus bring his earthly work to the high peak to mark his prophet work, king's work, and priest work. Because I have to do some exegesis, I'm sorry. Because ascension is words not mentioned every place. It's mostly in the Luke and Acts. And a little bit on the John. As we read today, you realize ascension. So sometimes we are confused, as I said at the beginning. Most people will ignore this ascension. For us, Jesus' ascension is just like a disappear. When I witnessed to the non-believer, I really had some embarrassment moment because we cannot see the Spirit, we cannot see the Father. The people said, can you show me your God? I said, yeah, our God already close to humanity. He's on the right hand Father. He said, can you show me the Jesus? I said, I cannot do that until he's coming back. He said, he's not real. So this is the moment I feel embarrassment. Because when he gone, just like Nuo Zha, the new cartoon, right? He's riding on this cloud and coming back. So it's a legend. We think we have to take a space axe to get to heaven. But seriously, I think why church neglect this one? Because every time the New Testament talk about the ascension, always connect with resurrection. So like ascension is hiding, hidden by the big picture of the resurrection. So I want to mention something that Patrick did. He did five things, but I only mention a few things. I'm going to do from the Bible and from a creed you just read. New Testament talk about ascension different way. When Gospel John talk about, I go up will be benefited to you. I will go up to see my Father. I come in from Father, I will go back to Father. Remember when he resurrected, Mary see him, right? Mary cleansing him, don't want him go, right? What did Jesus say to her? Do not cleanse because I have not yet go ascended to my Father. Not only gospel, Apostle Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 1. He talked about how the power of the Spirit resurrected when he raised him from the dead, seated him on the right hand in the heavenly places. He immediately go to chapter 2 in the verse 6, talk about you and me. He raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places with Jesus. Notice the verse in the past, the sentence. So let me ask a question. Where are you now? Where are you now? Are you in the Solomon's porch, Hong Kong? You are on the heavenly places. I know you are shaking your hand. I'm in Hong Kong. Pastor Ben, you are like four of us. You don't believe the Bible. Bible said Jesus raised his hand and see the right heavenly place. You are also raised with him. He talk about a spiritual raising, not a bodily resurrecting, right? Are you agree with me? I don't hear very loud voice. It's kind of hesitating, right? Well, I try to convince you. If you go through general epistles, especially book of the Hebrew, talk about a lot of work as a high priest, Jesus, on the heavenly places, on the heavenly sanctuary. He's a high priest. He's worked there, pray for us, cleansing us from very beginning. So even the John, who wrote Gospel John, but also wrote Revelation, where is the Jesus now? He sees the throne high up. Jesus and God sit on the throne. The Lamb and the Lion is up there. Did I convince you? Well, do I convince you Jesus on the heaven is real? Yes, okay, now it's better, much better. Okay. That's why the theologian said, although ascension not explicitly mentioned, but exaltation as a big category theologically, it's there. It's placed in the central place. The ascension of Jesus is marked the Messiah. He's victorious. He finished his work on earth. He actually guaranteed current work on the church on the earth. He's actually bring the heaven to the earth. And also later on we talk about the Spirit work. Guarantee he's coming back. So Old Testament also always used this truth, comfort the early church, because the Roman Empire was powerful. And also the empire on this earth is still powerful, such like places in the Muslim world and in China. So helping them to coping with the pain, the suffering, persecution. Let me say this. We always say, if without a resurrection, there's no Christianity. I will say, without ascension of Jesus, there's no church on the earth now. Amen? Let me show you, you just recite. I know you recite very quickly. Let's focus on Jesus. I believe in Jesus, the only Son, the Lord God. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and he died. What he said? The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to the heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father. Why Apostle Creed, Nicene Creed, all the other creed always mentions this one? Why just say the resurrection? Means this is important, right? What it means to church now? Why is this church still here? Think about what Jesus is talking to the Peter, apostle. In the Gospel Matthew 16:18, he said, "And I tell you, you are the Peter. On this rock I will build my church. The gate of hell shall not prevail against him." So where did Jesus build his church? Actively building 2,000 years for this church alive and spread gospel in the Indonesia, Tokyo, Seoul, Filipino congregation, Indonesia congregation, later on will be Mandarin congregation. Where is Jesus working? Do I have an answer? Where is he working? From heaven. The heaven is a real place. I think you do not believe heaven is a real place. Because we are baptized by scientific word. So you need watching Lord of Rain many times to see this enchanted world. Okay, keep going. So he already built his church 2,000 years. That's why. But we always forgot when he ascended, he continued to do this three work: priest, king, and a prophet. When he was on the earth, he was a prophet as like a rabbi. People don't believe him, although he had authority. Now he ascended his word, translated multiple language, go to the end of earth. This is prophetic word through his preachers, through the brothers and sisters. Where he's the priestly work, he's on the heavenly sanctuary to pray for us, minister to us, to reconcile us to Father. Where his kingly work, he used to be the king of a Jew. That's what the label put on his cross. Now we know he's the King of the Kings, Lord of Lords, for all nations. You realize it's essentially important. That's why Patrick said this one. Let me read to him, so otherwise I lost. The ascension culminated Christ's earthly work and marked the shift and the climax in the Messianic 3K role, PPK. It is not only confirmed Christ's work, but continues Christ's work. He once labored on the earth, and now he labored in the heaven. Jesus previously possessed those stations, only Judea and Samaria, but his ascension, he talked about his ruling on heaven, was definitely irrefutable declaration, his inheritance of all nations become his kingdom. One day, the kingdom of this world become kingdom of God. He will rule forever. So here, we're going to mention about his coming back, return of Jesus, going to complete kingdom of God. In verse 10 and 11, while they were gassed into the heaven as he went, behold, the two men stood there by them in the white robe, and the angel talked to them, say, "Men of the Galilee, why do you stand looking into the heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into the heaven will come in the same way as you saw him going into heaven." So there's multiple applications to your life and the corporation of the church. First, I want to mention is your citizenship. Where's your citizenship? I know when you come to Hong Kong, take 7 years to get this kind of a permanent. I want to have the permanent, but I don't think I can get it. But you had a much precious citizenship. You know what that citizenship? Your citizenship is a heavenly citizenship. That's the eternal identity. That was the God's confirmation or installation that lacking physical body of Christ on this earth, his kingship, he first gave you a seal. You belong to me until he's coming back. So expect he's coming back. So that's why the angel announced the way he go up, the same way he coming back. As I mentioned in the beginning, Acts on the first 11, high concentrated work of Christ, his suffering, his resurrection, his ascension, his coming back. So we focus on coming back. Think about when Jesus, before he died on the cross, the priest actually asked him in the Matthew 26, on the 63, Jesus remained silent and didn't answer his question until the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God, tell me if you are Christ, the Son of the God. Jesus said to him, you said so. He said, yes. But I tell you, you're thinking myself too small. From now on, you will see the Son of the Man seated at the right hand of the power and the coming on the cloud of heaven. He actually alluded Old Testament because the high priest shouldn't know Old Testament. That's in Daniel chapter 7. He talked about one day the Son of the Man will come. Let me read verse 13 and 14. I saw the night visions. Behold, with the cloud of the heaven, there come one like a Son of the Man, and he come with ancient days and was presented before him, verse 14. And to him was given dominion and glory and the kingdom, just like the Lord's Prayer, right? And all people, nations, language shall serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one will shall not be destroyed. That's the kingdom we inherit. Much bigger than Hong Kong, much bigger than China and the U.S., right? This kingdom continue to expand by the Spirit of work, continue in every places. So I would say the ascension of the Jesus is cosmetic, universal. Ascension of Jesus is political because he's a king compared to the Caesars or compare every ruler of this earth now. And he's also sacramental. As we're going to take this element to symbolize his blood and his body, so every time we take this one, Christ feeding us from heavenly realm. He is the one to bring heaven to this earth. The heaven kissed the earth now. So he is Lord heaven and earth. As we are, call everybody coming to him, obedience to him, trusting him, worship him. Because the day is coming. Compared 2,000 years ago when this book was written, Jesus coming is much closer. You might hear his walking steps. We not only believe Jesus erected, believing established the kingdom on earth, and ascension means his kingdom is everlasting, a global kingdom. The one day he will coming back as a return of the king. With full of the glory, every tongue, every knee will confess, will kneel down. But before that, we have to think about before that glory time, before Jesus' time, where we are now. Descended the Spirit, empowered the kingdom of God to end of earth. Why are we gathering? This couple of verses is very interesting. The talk was stay together, all of them not departure from Jerusalem. In verse 6, that gathering. So gathering is very important. I was intrigued by London become the church history, your church, the culture. During the London season, maybe you should become a 50, because you should have finished until the Pentecost, because that's the power you are waiting. Not only the Jesus resurrected, you can do that until Pentecost, right? Maybe. Are you following with me? Yeah. So this is one. He talked the spirit of coming. The gathering is very important. What's the church now? Well, we are in the Solomon SP. The gathering itself is the church, right? God, spirit, of course, working in individual life. But as we gathering, the spirit willing or delighted to working when we corporate worship. You've already experienced that. I enjoy y'all greeting each other, not just like say hi, and then you move on. You actually talk about it a couple minutes, right? So this gathering is very important. I want you to notice what is significant here, the gathering. It's two things. Everybody gathering, Christian, non-Christian, but here, most people gathering thinking how many people? Large crowd, if you go to the football stadium. Like, I'm the football fan. I don't know, Sam's like, same thing. I'm Ohio State, my previous school. Winning the college football champion, I was so thrilled. But I don't know if there's a spirit of Jesus there. Here is clearly whether the gathering important is Christ with them, the spirit with them. Because we realize we are weak. We, the person, do not have a wisdom. Whether you are famous or not famous, where you make a lot of money or not, you all have to rely on this person, Nazarene, Jesus, the head of the church. He had power, had life, had wisdom. When we're gathering, we're actually fed by his word. The spirit applied the word individually. So when we're gathering, spirit willing to empower us to make this true. 2,000 years ago, this king, without using any weapon or the soldier, but conquered the Roman Empire by love. Of course, church is not perfect, but God used church to draw many to him. They come to see Jesus, seeking the ability to overcome the sin, to get hope, get guidance, like you had this a marriage, pre-marriage. I think that's a really, really good ministry. And some people in the school, in the workplaces, they're all seeking mentors. If you're looking, helps, the best place actually in the family of God, body of Christ. Because the kingdom of God mostly manifest in his church. Never sunset the kingdom. Actually, it's not the British, not the U.S., not the China. Actually, it is the church. I'm joking about, but it's real true. As a meteorologist, I found even in Antarctic, Greenland had a church. The worship in the weather station or in the ship when they get a tourist. Because the head of the church is wise. He knows our victim, our weakness. We always had make a plans. This is the third month of 2024. I don't know, your new will or your plan is successful? Your diet successful? I'm failed. Yeah, only 1 week I failed. But the Christ promise, he will send the Spirit. Give a promise. When you're gathering, the Spirit will be upon you. It's not a one time, but a continuously. The third person, zero distance person, living in you, much closely than Old Testament. In Old Testament, only priest, the king, and the prophet had one. But now, everybody, because Jesus already promised, will do great things than this, right? In the Gospel of John, you know this one. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believing in me will also do work that I do, and the great work, then this will he do, because I'm going to the Father, And I will ask Father, and He will give you another help. So He connects His ascension with what? Descended the Spirit. That's where we are. I think in this sense, I'm charismatic. I'm Presbyterian, but I'm really charismatic in the sense without the Spirit, we cannot work. Do I have amen? Amen. Okay, now you more response to me now. But the acts, actually the work of the Spirit, acts of the Jesus, from this point, is the Spirit that testify the work of Christ, the glory of the Father. The Spirit work in the apostles' life in the first century is authoritative, gave the Bible to us. Now, we don't have that authority, but we have the same power, same wisdom, because when we close us with the Word and empowered by Spirit, we actually become agent of God people. So Spirit used the written Word, and by the power of Spirit apply all the work of Jesus and the person of Jesus to us. For that reason, He applied this to every whoever willing to believe, to regenerate us and renew us, give the life of Jesus to us. In fact, we actually met a Spirit first before we met Jesus experientially, right? Think about it. Scripture said, without the Spirit to move, nobody will acknowledge Jesus is the Lord. So we met third person first, then we recognize Jesus the King and the Lord, then we adopt into the family of God. Spirit how to upon us by the Word of God, then repentance, receive Him through the prayer. Spirit pray with us, and the Spirit work always connect our regeneration, but the more than regeneration, because once we become His children through baptized, the Spirit continue empowers. Every time He will kind of make us die to our sin, small death, and a small resurrection. So if you like the one book I like, the Jerry Curve, my friends wrote this one, you can rule this one. Apply the Jesus work, death, resurrection, ascension, much better than I did, because I'm preaching very abstractively. I'm hoping you understand. But if you read that book, it's really alive. Because that's the Spirit empowerment, fullness of Him in us by we obedience to the Word of God. The fruit will come. What is restoration? Was the power continue work? In the past 5 years, from 20 to the 25, I think each year the world become uncertain, whether even Asia and the U.S., like China and the U.S., you know, is very, very much in awe. Make Korea, Japan, and all Asians don't know which side you are on. Let me tell you which side you are on. You should be on the God's side. I know this is abstract, but it's true because His kingdom will live in forever. Think about the war in the Russian and Ukraine. Already had 8 years, and the past 3 years, this war still continue. We do not know why we're gathering. Everybody gathering wants his nation, his city become a prosper. Those past 5-6 years, basically globalization is reversed, become more localized. The power regional, so that different culture, different religion, and civilization is a clash. So that make me thinking, well, the question the apostle asked Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Actually, I don't think those apostles asked thinking about themselves. They actually thinking about the kingdom of God, because we are new Israel from all nations. But at the time, Jesus said, you don't know. So Samuel Huntington is a professor from Harvard. He wrote article in 1993, later on, 96, he became a book. It's translated in Mandarin, if you read Mandarin. It's become a name called Clash, Civilizations and the Remaking of the World Order. I think still something, he's prophetic. He talked about the Indian, Islam, Orthodox, China, Japan, and other civilization will be clash. In the New World Order after Cold War, the three things I think is still remain true. One is like a Western major country, their leading time may be end or going to be end, maybe not reversible, but a rising power start against Western and want to use their own culture, become culture norm. You know what I'm saying? Then everybody individually, they're always looking different personal identity, political correctness, all the equality. So all this one, when we think about Samuel Huntington as he's prophetic, it's not as Bible, of course. We have to ask this question. What final power is able to usher us into the final civilization? What final power will gather all nations under the one king? You know the answer, right? Remember Jesus said in verse 7, it's not for you to know the time, the season that the Father has fixed his own time, the season. It's a spirit, is a power, is a gathering power to bring us to Jesus. Although this world is just like depend on the God, Father, Son, and the Spirit. But when he talk about Spirit, he talk about the people of God closed by Spirit. It's a special presence of Jesus. This is one recreation power. Not a one time, but a continue renew. He actually ushered the church into the new age. If the first age is dead, sane, hopeless, the new age is resurrection, new life, and the hope. That's what we are living, is the overlapping age. Have you heard the words called already, not yet? It's like the kingdom is already here, but not here fully, right? You realize you're bodily not resurrected, but your spirit already resurrected. I already convinced you are sitting in heaven, right? So that's kind of, we are overlapping that. So this is the final civilization will be accomplished when Jesus is coming back. As we advance the kingdom of God on this earth, how we, in which name, what a power we have to witness. So we have to be witness to Jesus. Close the power with the Spirit. Spirit is a person, not only the power. So for this, think about Acts. He said, God already make Jesus alive. We are testifying. He, Jesus, was the right-hand Father. We are received the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what you hear. Impelling the Spirit. I've been done. This is a Peter's preaching. In Acts 5:30, the God of our Father raised Jesus, who you killed by hanging him on the tree. And the God exalted him on the right hand and as the leader and the Savior. Listen again. You are the witness to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. You can see the resurrected Jesus and the descended Spirit connected in the passage. So we have to put together, what is Paul's preaching? Is actually in the Acts, in the end, he talked about the kingdom of God and the work of Jesus, resurrection, very closely. Listen to the very end of Acts, on the Acts on 28. He lived there 2 whole years, this is Paul, at his own expense, and welcomed all who come to him, proclaimed the kingdom of God, and teaching all the things about Jesus with all boldness without hindering. So when we preaching kingdom of God, from this place to other places, this church did one thing, it's very amazing. You bring the Indonesia-speaking people to this one, plant the church, Indonesia church, Filipino church. Now you bring Mandarin-speaking guy to plant the church in the future for Mandarin people. Or you send the people to other region, in the Seoul, in the Japan, in the Singapore. It's from everywhere mission to everywhere. So when you think of the Paul to do the mission work, if you think about the church planting, one guy said this one, let me paraphrase to him, for you. He said, if you take the church planting out of the New Testament, you only left four books, which is the Gospel. You will not have Acts. You don't have all the Paul's epistles. You don't have rest of general epistle, even Revelation. Why? Even Revelation, the seven churches of Asia Minor is a real church. So because that's the work of God, and the apostles wrote the New Testament while they are part of the church. So we are on the same foot with them. Do I have amen? Thank you, Lord. I want to finish. My sisters, you see Kingdom of God formally established or inaugurated on this earth by his resurrection and by ruling of Jesus and by power of the Spirit to the end of earth, right? I want to end the story. Is 2 years ago, I go to the Malaysia because I cannot go to China. I'm glad I'm able to come here. So in Malaysia, I met a Baptist church. They said we had a ministry to the 600 people, all from Myanmar that speak in Burmese. Then 2 years ago, when I preaching on the KL, that's maybe my second time preaching English. It's a larger church, like 3,000 people. I don't know what I'm speaking there, but they understand. So they said, I had a Burmese ministry. So I kind of, well, maybe I need to look at it because suddenly we started doing the Burmese. So last year, I go to the Indianapolis. My son-in-law, my daughter was there. I visited a small seminary that uses Southern Middle Seminary curriculum. It's called the ITS, Indiana Theological Seminary. There's only 45 students. Guess how many students from Myanmar speaking Burmese? 15. Then I talked to the people, say, even in the Indianapolis, 30,000 from Burmese in different time. So those Burmese, during the war time, they go to the Malaysia, jumping to the U.S., go to Europe. They always had a harp. Different people had a harp. Like in Hong Kong, you had the harp of a Filipino, Indonesia now, meaning Chinese Mandarin speaking people will come here. So I will go to the Burmese. You pray for me, but I really, really pray. My heart is on Mandarin speaking people because God raised them not only for Mandarin speaking people. Raise them for other nations. What a work the Sam and your elders, your people did here will reproduce, all modified in different part of this world. May Lord bless you. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you. Thank you so much for your work. We witness this not only in the history, but also even in our lives, in our eyes. Lord, help us to see, help to feel, help us to engage with your work so we can be your vessels. We become agent of your kingdom of God to testify you're a greater king. You love us, die for us. Now you reign your kingdom from heaven. Be with us by your power of the Spirit. Amen.
It's the first Sunday of the month, and so we're going to come before the Lord at his table. Let me read from the scriptures. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner should be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number asleep." If you have not yet received the elements, raise your hand, and one of our ushers will make sure you get one. The Lord reminds us, and he asks us to come to his table regularly and to come to his table reverently. And as the cups are being passed, and you can open them up and The worship team is going to lead us in a song, and maybe the Lord is convicting you of something. Maybe there's something that's been going on in your life these days that He wants you to remedy. And just spend this time and seek His face and listen to what He has in store for you. And maybe the areas that He may be convicting you of as well. And then we'll take together as a body. Go ahead, why don't you lead us? Let's pray together. Huh? Let's close our eyes, and as we hold the elements in our hand, we're reminded of what Christ has done for us. Lord, thank you for the cross. Lord, thank you for your loss. Lord, thank you for because of what you've done, God, that we are free, we are saved. God, we're not saved by our works, God, we're saved by your work. And we come humbly as a congregation and say thank you. Lord, and now we want to take this message, this gospel, this freedom, God, to the ends of the earth. We love you, Jesus. We bless you. Let's take together. This is Christ's body broken for you, and this is the blood new covenant poured out for you. Stand to our feet and let's sing this as an anthem before the Lord.
this world, you can have all this world.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for Pastor Ben. God, thank you for his word to us, Lord. Just bless him, God, as he goes to Myanmar this week. And thank you for the teaching, God, that he's done all through our city this week as well. Lord, bless him. Bless his family, God. Lord, thank you for the word. Let it richly dwell within us, God, and change us, Lord. God, we want to be mobilized, Lord God, to minister, God, to everyone we meet, especially, Lord, we're grateful and thankful, God, for all the Mandarin-speaking people that are coming into this city, Lord. God, equip us, Lord God, that we can minister to them. Equip us, Lord God, that we can speak words of life into their hearts. Lord, bless Loi and Eva, God, who have come, God. Lord, use them powerfully, Father God, and help us as a church to just come along right alongside of them, Lord, to carry on your work, Lord. God, we thank you. Lord, come and have your way with us, Lord. We love you, God. We bless you. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, to be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I want you to hug someone next to you. Say, have an awesome week this week. If you need any prayer, please come up to the front. Our well ministers will gladly pray for you. Have a great time. Bless you.